coming to you alive through the power of the interwebs. Inside the Green Room Studio from the flagship source of the Earth Mix Garden Products Network, it's the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, bringing you all the wisdom
and wit
you'll ever need to tackle your garden and your projects. Now broadcasting alive from Bates Nursery and Garden Center at 3810 Whites Creek Pike, just 1 mile north of exit 19 off Briley Parkway.
Or 0.9 miles as the Josh drives.
Here's Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth. A new one for this year.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Clean.
Clean. Yes, absolutely. Hey, and find that project, Lay It in the Unmarked Grape of History. Welcome in, everybody. It's the At-Home Show. It's our Saturday morning tradition here, coming to you alive from the Green Room Studios at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. I am Josh Carey. David Bates will be, he's there.
He's on assignment.
He's on assignment.
I'm here.
He is broadcasting from the home office in Groom Lake, Nevada. And he had to go and do an inspection and a butt-kicking tour.
Numerous technical difficulties this morning.
And he is he's in a portrait mode as opposed to landscape mode, which is different. But we have his admirable stand-in here for us. And he's
shrub.
No, that's a mugo pine.
Okay.
There you go. The mugo. It's a gorgeous little plant. All righty, folks. It is a tradition, and we are here for you for the first show of 2021. And that part of that fourth decade, because it's two millennia, two centuries, and now into our fourth decade of the At-Home program.
Just thinking, 9 more years, you'll be in your fifth.
That's true. And we'll be here for you every Saturday morning. Hell, high water, wind, whatever happens to us. 615-499-6690 is the number to join us. You will go into a voice rotary phone, and Michael will pick it up, and we'll bring you on live if you want to join us. David Bates, are you ready to do the weather, sir?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine. You're coming through loud and clear.
All right. Yes. Yeah, so, of course, today is Saturday, the 2nd of January.
Uh-huh.
And that means that we are in a new year. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Jumanji.
And today we're going to have really mostly cloudy conditions, high of 50 degrees, and just going to be a very mild day. Uh-huh. 34 for the overnight low. Tomorrow, decreasing clouds. Mostly in the morning. It'll be breaking up by afternoon, high of 46. 29 overnight for Sunday. On Monday, a little warmer, but really more the same through much of the week. Until we get to Wednesday, temperatures don't really change much. We do get some clouds back in the picture on Wednesday, maybe some showers Thursday and Friday. Mention of a possible snow shower.
Huh.
And then partly cloudy conditions again by the by the end of next week. And currently it's 44 degrees here in the Music City.
Yes, it is. Now, David, again, did you have any problems with the transporter system from the White Creek Pike to the Groom Lake facility there? Did the underground tube work?
Yeah, the part of the problem is that my digital image has failed to properly
the holograph is down.
But the holograph is down, and I'm struggling with all of the issues on my end. But working through that the very best I can.
Okay.
It's been a difficult morning, but the show must go on, as we like to say, and as is said. So here we are doing what we do. Glad to have everybody on board today. 615-499-6690.
Now, but you didn't answer the question about the travel on the underground tube, because that was a big thing on your list to check there at Groom Lake. It was whether or not the pneumatics would be working properly on the high speed bullet train.
The pneumatics are definitely they suck. or they blow. I'm not sure which way that is, but yeah, there are some definite issues there. Okay. However, all is good. I'm glad to be here this morning, albeit struggling a little bit.
Well, you don't seem to be struggling. I mean, now you have the Groom Lake uniform on.
I do have. You see, I got my Groom Lake green on this morning.
Okay. Now, how's the weather at Groom Lake? I mean, is it dry and hot?
It's dry and hot. You know, a lot of dust as you expect, but not so much as it is during the summer months. I did see the spirit of Art Bell float through a while ago.
Did you pass the trailer? I mean, is he still have his own stop there?
Yeah, you know, Art Bell's not going anywhere. He's not going to let death get in the way of getting the show done.
And for those who don't know, Art Bell is the former host of Coast to Coast AM.
Oh gosh, I mean, everybody knows who Art Bell was. I mean,
in the day when we first got started, anyway.
We used to travel into the studio there and listen to Art on the way into the studio. And you can find those. I'm sure you can find some of those old recordings out there somewhere. And you know, they're pretty applicable to today. I mean, you know, 2020, well, you imagine Art in 2020?
I'm sure he'd still be doing his same shtick. You know, he was well-versed in what he did. That's for sure.
All righty, folks. 615-499-6690. Now, David, again, he is at the Groom Lake facility, which is the home office of the At Home Show. Has been for many, many, many years. So, we had to go out there remotely because the Antarctic facility, that was that one little spot time that we couldn't get out to come back to do the show live. And we kind of shuttered that facility. I mean, it came to be just a little bit too much to handle, you know, he's driving
every now and again. We have to go out and do a field check.
Well, you know,
every now and again,
well, you got to go in there and once in a while and just take a name, you know, kick a butt, you know, bring them around. Now the security forces now have they gotten back in shape after the holidays?
Yeah. Everything's good. You know, it was a pretty uneventful time for me. How about you guys?
Well, I ate a lot of food and I was telling Josh, you know, the holidays are pretty eventful for me because, you know, we do Christmas and then you do New Year's, but my mom's birthday is New Year's Eve and my dad's birthday is New Year's Day. So it's a lot in about a week, but it's fun. I love it.
Yeah, but my nephew's birthday is New Year's Eve as well. He turned 30 years old.
I don't remember what that was like. You roughly did? 6 years ago.
All righty, folks. 615-499-6690. We're testing the tech here in the green room this morning again, and things are working out pretty well. This is if you're seeing David's image, it's coming to you via a picture in a picture. And another picture. So it's one of those universal infinity type of shots that we like to have going on here. We see David, he's finally got his stand set up. So he's looking good there.
Yeah, my technology, you know, when it works, it's wonderful. When it conspires against you, well, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm. All righty, folks. Go ahead, David.
No, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I should have more than what I've got. All I've had is network issues to deal with this morning. And I've
CBS, NBC?
I have tried to do that to the best of my ability. So I've worked around it. It's okay, but it's not what I hoped. Hopefully by my next broadcast, I'll be in a little bit better mode. We actually did not roll in until midnight last night.
Did you stop and see the world's largest ball of string there? And okay,
I could not do anything. You know, when I am tired, you know, the brain just goes away. So I had no ability to do any network troubleshooting. And then I got a quick 6 hours and got back at it this morning.
Oh, you slept in. Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm, I've slept from midnight or about 12:30 until almost six this morning. So I am, it's a lot to try to deal with when you are not expecting to have issues on that end. But be that as it may, here we are. We've got at least a reasonable workaround, and so we're going to go forward today. Sure. Hey, before we go further, I want to make sure to thank Nicholas Stadden for coming on that last week.
And, absolutely.
Great to have him in studio, and we're looking forward to having him in again as a part of the Inverde network, and great folks over there at Inverde, and looking forward to seeing what those folks have to offer horticulturally.
Hopefully it's green. If you would think they would,
I'm going to say that the name would indicate that it almost certainly is going to be green.
Very good. 615-499-6690. We have, like I said, David is sitting in his normal chair now, which is looking good. But there's a lot of stuff inside the green room. Travis was putting it in as we got in.
His name's Tyler.
Tyler, Travis, same thing. why was I thinking Travis?
I don't know. I don't know. It may have been why when you were hollering Travis didn't turn around and look at you.
Okay. Apologies, young man. But I don't know.
I see no Travis here.
Well, maybe I was thinking about the Clemson football game yesterday.
By the way, for the information of all of our viewers this morning, we are broadcasting from Bates Nursery this morning. However, we are closed today. We will be closed through the weekend, opening up again on Monday. So make that point clear right off the get-go that we appreciate everything in the year past and looking forward to a great 2021. But we are closed today, so giving everybody a couple of weekends to recharge their batteries.
And, quite a good newsletter this week, by the way, David Bates. I want to compliment
you
on your writing.
I think it's important for us all to kind of keep ourselves on an upbeat kind of a swing. You know, it's easy when you have so many different things to kind of get caught up in the funk of the difficulties of life.
Don't you lay down the funk? Is that
well, it wasn't know, it's the funk will sometimes lay down with you.
I see.
And so I just tried to talk about how fortunate we are to live in the community that we live in, and that we don't necessarily have to allow ourselves to get down over things getting tough. I think any of us, I've been around a pretty good while, and anyone who's lived a number of decades has seen difficulties in life. And, we have seen more than our fair share, to be sure. And those are not things, any of them, that we asked for. And now, just like everybody else, we're all dealing with the coronavirus, and certainly we have hopes that we're going to get some relief from that in the coming months, but that's not going to be a quick thing. I lost another dear friend this week, Raymond Ray, who he and I grew up. He grew up right across the street. I learned how to ride horses with him when I was 6 years old. And Raymond was just a wonderful guy, a football player buddy of mine. We played side by side. He was a right tackle. I was right guard. Now, he was a real football player.
How'd you smell, though?
He played college football, and Raymond was a tremendous athlete. But unfortunately, Raymond succumbed to coronavirus.
Oh, man. And
so, it's – the time when a lot of us are having to, come to grips and embrace the fact that, we all have to get through this. We're kind of hopefully in the fourth quarter of all this coronavirus, but this is when the going gets tough. And I think everyone is well advised to try to keep their distancing protocols in check. And
now, if you, David, since you bring that up, David, and as a business owner, since this began, you have done what was necessary to protect your customers and your staff,
right?
And you have willingly maybe begrudgingly in some cases, adhered to the rules because that was the necessity to maintain what was going on with business. But I heard over the weekend, over the holiday, that there are some places out there that are not necessarily following some of the rules. Now, they may not be under certain mandates, but if they're in the state of Tennessee, I think they're asked to have, let's say it was a restaurant, and servers are supposed to wear facial coverings at all time. I believe you're supposed to wear your mask from the door into your table and then socially distance as you go along with it. And if you're not doing that kind of thing, folks, regardless of the politics, we don't talk politics on the At Home Show. As a business owner, I view that as being a bit dim-witted, let's say. Let's just use the nice word there. I think you should do everything to protect your assets, your employees, and your other asset, which are your customers. Now, you can't require someone to wear a mask, but you can ask them strongly to wear a mask. You can advise them that we may not be able to provide a service for you if you don't wear a mask. But when it starts to bleed over into other parts of life and affect things because people that were caught up in one of these situations are forced to cancel because they don't want to get old people sick, or they don't want to have someone with a comorbidity get sick, or you have someone who happens to be a germaphobe in your extended family. It's just kind of crazy. And I would advise everyone to just suck it up and move on with it, whether you like it or not. We're all in this.
I don't think coronavirus cares whether you like it or not, or who you may have voted for or any of that stuff. It's just about, it's a disease.
Well, and I think it's so very short-sighted on the part of a business owner, particularly one in the service industry. You know, and you've got your hands on things and you're handing people things and you're talking to them and you're back and forth with them. And then people take that stuff that you're using and you eat it? Come on, folks. I mean, it's just...
Well, I can tell you as a business owner, you know, this past year has been extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. And, the first of all, coming out of the gates with the coronavirus and all of the... You know, it's a moving target. And as business owners, there has been no manual set out ahead of time that says, well, this is the way it's going to go. And we don't know it. What to do next.
But you're so not only
we're all trying to watch everybody else and trying to figure out what to do.
Well, and it, beyond the fact that if you as a business, and let's just say it were a restaurant, a bistro type of restaurant, if you're not following the rules, you're affecting everyone else in your industry, potentially. Everyone else in your industry, because there are people in Nashville that would love to be able to be a server or a bartender, or cook, even in some cases, they would love to be able to go to work. And if you keep screwing that kind of stuff up,
harder than the restaurant and entertainment. I mean, they've just been decimated, and so it's very difficult. But even as a business that has not been as adversely affected, we put up signage. We've got it all over the place. You've got to wear a mask. But we simply don't have the staff to be able to go around and make people keep a mask on. Now, our business is 95% outdoors. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're standing out in the open air. And if you've got any amount of distance between you and the next person, I don't know how much benefit a mask actually adds, but you have to remember to put it back on when you're in proximity of people. So when you're in a public place, it's probably just easier to leave it on. That's what I try to do. I think that's the reasonable thing out of courtesy to other people, is to say, hey, you know what? I think enough of you to keep the mask on. It's not about because I don't like wearing them.
Nope.
I don't like,
I despise
like wearing
it.
Them at all, mm-hmm. but I'll wear one most of the time. And I try to get up in the morning. I'll wear one of these neck gaiters mostly just because I can put it around my neck. And this time of year, it's cool enough where that it's not really uncomfortable. And that way I can pull it up over my face quickly.
It doesn't mash up your hair.
I don't have to try to keep up with it. So that's what has worked best for me. Other people have, you know, other face coverings that work well for them, but it's just about really being willing. And when you're in situations where you're both in and then out of contact with people, it's about
and a flow of trying. People. And again, David, you're the same thing. The customers come in and they leave. Okay. And then but it's a cycle and you can't control who they have been around, where they've been, what they've done. And you're just taking care of it. It's the same way in a restaurant industry. You're going to come in, you're going to eat your food, you're going to go home. But you don't know where you were this afternoon. You don't know where mama was the day before yesterday. You don't know where that stranger you met on the way in was.
And it, you know, it's not about even the people. Mm-mm. Yeah, you may.
Oh, you're great. You're really fine. Well,
but you don't know everybody they've come in contact, been around. And that's how this, you know, all of us, no doubt, are feeling the circle tighten because we all are becoming aware that there are people we know or have extended family or have. Fairly close friends who have been affected on some level with it. And, you know, I've lost a few really good friends over the last month. And it's just heartening to lose them. And I believe they thought they were doing the best they could do. So, you know, it's just, I don't want to belabor it, but at the same time, I don't want to, make less of it than what is really appropriate. You know, not for everybody necessarily, but there are people who have underlying conditions. This is a deadly thing for, and you know, while I might not have those, I don't want to find out. I haven't been tested recently. My entire company was tested recently. And the only person who tested positive was the one who indeed did have coronavirus that he got from his wife that she got at work. So, but they went through the whole protocol of going through it and testing again and getting a negative test before he came back to work. And so we've had nobody else test positive at all. And we're grateful for that. But I think it's largely due to the environment we work in. If we were in an enclosed office environment where everyone was on top of each other, it'd be almost impossible if someone had it to keep from transmitting it.
And you're out nice. You get a lot of good vitamin D therapy just by being out there to work too as well.
Right. And we get a lot of vitamin D therapy because we're out in the sun every day. Yep. And that does help. I'm convinced that helps just being outside in general. So anyway, hopefully everyone can really
come on. Let's just get
exercise these protocols here for the next few months until we can get to the point where that vaccinations can become more widespread and we can all feel a little bit better about it. There's a lot of difficult times still ahead.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say is you've got there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, so whether it's in a few months or whenever it is, this is going to wind down eventually.
One way or another.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, and Michael's in and out of retail establishments every day. So, I mean, and again.
Well, I wear a mask everywhere. Yeah. So, and I wash my hands and I'm going to be honest, if more than four people get on one of these aisles, I make myself scarce.
Just slacking off. I got to go out there check and check on something. Okay, we have a comment, Tyler. That
and we have a text in a minute too.
Okay, Darren is telling us that David has a bad echo except when he's the only one on. I don't know whether we're picking up an open mic of somewhere along the way, but an echo.
I do not hear it. Probably
we don't hear it in our cans, Darren. So I mean, we're getting the live feed as it goes through. 615-499-6690. If you have a text or if you have a comment, you can call. We'll put you on the air. We'll call you back.
Not the first time I've been misunderstood.
Echo. This morning?
Yeah. So the text, wait, the comment, what are we doing first?
No, the text.
There's a comment about the echo?
The comment was about the echo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the text is, so we're rolling into 2021. This is from Denise, and she wants to know how soon she wants to, that she needs to clean out her, what do you call them? I call them raised beds. You call them above ground.
Above ground gardening.
Above ground garden. So that she can get it ready for some of these cooler weather plants that are obviously going to be coming around here in about a couple of months or so.
Right. Well, there's no particular rush. I mean, however, that's something that you would, if you're going in with cool season vegetables, you probably within a month, you want to have that done and get that all ready to go, because depending on what the weather does, you're likely going to be beginning to plant those cool season vegetables by the middle of February. Now, it is entirely possible that you're going to start so early that you might want to cover your little raised bed area with a temporary greenhouse cover. You know, you can make that with PVC pipe and just plastic that you can buy at a box store. And that stretches your window that much more. However, right now, you're kind of limited to...
It was 75 degrees yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, we don't expect cool season vegetable plants to be arriving before the middle of February.
Now, the seed catalog people are already pushing starts and everything. Like, if you're on any kind of a, particularly on the F book, now, that they are.
Now, if you're starting from seed on your own, certainly you've got a lot more control over that. You could go ahead and get those out as early as possible, but chances are, most people are going to wait and buy starts, you know, little starter plants. It makes it a lot easier that way.
Now, David, we're through with the lettuces, of course, that we put in for our cool season crop, and they were wonderful and glorious. And we had our broccoli. We finally had our two servings of broccoli. We really did. I mean, it was amazing. It was the best broccoli I've ever grown.
My broccoli didn't grow.
Your broccoli didn't grow? Oh my goodness! I don't know why your broccoli didn't grow, but. The Brussels sprouts, I have, when will they actually ripen? They're about as big around as a good-sized grape right now, but still seems, the plants seem fine and wonderful and great. I could probably harvest them and cook them now, but, you don't see them.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to see them mature much more from where they are right now. Now, maybe you got them planted a little bit late, or I'm not sure what your schedule was on that, but... Even if they're small, you can go ahead and harvest those, harvest the entire stem.
Right.
And cook them up. We had Brussels sprouts night before last. And I would have told you for most of my life that I would not be a Brussels sprouts fan. But actually, I have become quite a Brussels sprouts fan. It's strange how your tastes change as you age. At least mine has. There's a lot of things that, a few things. I've never been real picky. Seem to be I make a poor food critic, I contend, because the worst food I ever ate wasn't too bad. So my appetite is diverse, but the Brussels sprouts is one of those things I did not care for. I used to not like okra either, the okra has become perhaps one of my very favorite.
Pickled, fried, pickled, steamed,
pickled,
gumbo.
I'm even okay with it boiled. That's really the one that I had the greatest aversion for, but I can even eat it boiled. It's okay, but I prefer it.
Well, they genetically engineered the slime out of it in a lot of ways, too, haven't they?
Yeah, well, pickling it or frying it gets rid of that sliminess, but... I really like the pickled, and I'll take the pickle and add extra Carolina Reaper peppers to it to really get some punch.
Now, how do you like your Brussels sprouts? Do you like them sautéed? Do you like them cut in half and cooked in the oven and roasted with some maple syrup and a nice balsamic?
When you pick okra, the biggest mistake people make
is it let it get as big as a gourd like I did?
You got to pick it every day, sometimes twice a day if you have a lot of plants, because they'll go from the size of the tip end of your finger to 6 inches long in about a day and a half time. So if you have to really stay on top of it and pick them, and you always want to pick them when they're maybe about
About as long as your little finger.
3.5 inches long. Yeah. You don't want you if you wait until they go beyond that, then they get really tough. So you got to stay on them, pick them. And when you are looking for them, you have to really look from a lot of different angles. They're very easily disguised. It amazes me how much I try to look for them and how I will miss one, and there'll be one 6 inches long that I have looked right at the plant 2 or 3 days consecutively and not seen it. So that's they're kind of stealthy a little bit. They're a bit camouflaged against the stems of the plant.
Well, then they get to the consistency of a cardboard box they're hard to cut. Oh my gosh.
People are bad about that. They think that's a good thing. And they're also bad about allowing zucchini and cucumbers to grow too large. And the same thing holds true for those is, you know, having a zucchini that's, you know, 2 feet long is not something to take pride in.
How big is that, David?
Big.
Is that 2 feet long? Okay. Yeah, okay. I see. 615-499-6690. Big.
You know, the way I cook Brussels sprouts is I cut them in half like you're talking about. Olive oil and just some salt and pepper.
A little garlic.
Mm-hmm.
A little garlic.
It's delicious that way. Or for squash and zucchini, you dice that up, put it in a skillet with some dill and some onions.
Okay.
And some olive oil. So it's really good.
I'm hungry.
8:30 in the morning, you're making me hungry.
For Brussels sprouts? You could have a Brussels sprout smoothie.
What is wrong with you?
What would be wrong with a Brussels sprout smoothie?
One, the main ingredient's a Brussels sprout.
Okay.
The only proper way to eat Brussels sprouts is the way I just described to you.
Oh, no, no, no. You get them in that bag. You know, David, you remember the bags that the mom used to buy at the grocery store that, of course, you'd buy them at the grocery store, that had that yellow concoction all the way around them, and then you threw them into the boiling water and waited until it all just melted away. And then you poured it out on the plate.
That's
the ones you really liked, wasn't it, David?
Yeah, the plastic just melts away. You don't have to worry; it's dissolvable. It's all good for you.
Okay.
615-499-6690, and you know, of course, all of this stuff grows much better in an earth mix garden product. Whether you're growing your cauliflower,
we really work hard at trying to develop a soil line that's. That's all about everything staying organic and doing that in a sustainable kind of way. So, when you're shopping for that this spring, no matter where you are, at independent garden centers all over Middle Tennessee and Kentucky, Earth Mix is even up in Illinois and Ohio. You can be assured that when you deal with those independent garden centers, that you're going to get a product that is really takes the thought process out of soil preparation. You know, that's one of the tough things about gardening that you can just kind of take out of the equation, because it doesn't matter if you're a master gardener, if you've been a horticulturist for years, or you're a neophyte, somebody who's just starting gardening this year. There's a lot of folks who fall into that category this year. You've been gardening before, Josh.
You've been working alongside David doing this for long enough. Like, yeah, you can't really be considered a beginner.
This is the first year that I really put in a garden, though. I mean, we lost Opa last year, so I mean, he was the gardener in the family, and there was no point in trying to outcompete him, because he was the guy that had all the stuff, and he had all the tools, and he had to pick all.
Well,
the
you
stuff
don't want to have to
up,
be thinking so. About all of the. Great numbers of things that you need to be adding to it. If you can just open a bag and put that into the container or into the garden area that you're going to grow your plants in and plant directly into it without doing anything else, it just makes life a lot easier for everyone who is getting ready to get in the garden. There's enough other things that Mother Nature presents that are challenges for all of us, you know, disease and insects and those kind of things. And, the kind of things that Dr. Alan Windham, our good friend of the show, deals with regularly.
David, Lisa is listening in Costa Rica this morning.
Costa Rica.
So,
buenos dias.
But wonder if the volcano's going off. Hope not.
Glad to
There's
glad
a volcano
to have our...
going off somewhere in Costa Rica. I can pretty well guaranteed.
I know that Kilauea has been acting up of late, and it's been a couple, 3 years since that's happened. But I think the last time it erupted about 3 years ago, I want to say that about 70 homes were taken out.
Yeah, Mama Pele got a bad mood. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that. Somebody took a rock away. Well, no, you can't go to Hawaii, so, huh?
If you're going to be on the Big Island, you might want to kind of go north and not be on that south side. It's a beautiful spot, you know, up there near Parker Ranch, or as they say in the Big Island, Paka Ranch.
Paka?
Paka.
Paka. Okay.
So, yeah, you pretty much are not much you can do about volcanoes except just avoid them.
You being really big in the weather, David, have you seen this giant storm that's going to hit Alaska? Apparently, they're calling it a bomb cyclone or something.
Bomb cyclone.
Bombogenesis is what it did, or something like that.
So it's just going to be a major snowstorm? A major snow blizzard event for them?
Looks like it, but I think it's mainly going to hit north of all the mostly populated areas. So it'll just the bears.
Well, everything is north of the from all intents and purposes.
Well, you know
it's
what
north
I mean.
Or off the coast, but yeah, that you know, I guess the price of crab legs is going to go up because you don't want to be out on a crab boat.
No,
wouldn't want to be out on one of those.
They said the waves out there are like topping 50 feet in the middle of the ocean from this thing.
Oh my word!
So,
how'd you like to be out on a boat like that? I've actually been out on a. We used to go deep sea fishing when my dad was still living 30 plus years ago. We would go deep sea fishing and we were in, I think, a 39 foot vessel, and we had 35 foot seas once upon a time. And I will tell you, even back in the day, there was very little beer drank on that trip.
You couldn't keep it on the table. I mean, it would just, you'd have to hold.
I believe that was the only trip that we actually brought alcohol back with us. You know, that's what rough seas can do to you. It can change your priorities even on a trip where you're thinking.
Well, smooth sailing becomes not so.
Well, you can't drink the beer because you can't go to the head, because if you go to the head and you get that one of those like that, when you'd be all up.
Well, yeah, you gotta keep your elbows out and you're trying to fill the spaceship so you don't clobber your head against the walls.
Now, David, think about it.
I enjoy sailing, but I don't like that.
Now, I want you to do that. I want you to use to make that visual again where you're trying to block your. Okay, this is with your arms. I guess we should clarify. Is this a number one position or a number two position?
Well, I would say that's a number one position, but then there, of course, that creates one more problem, but we won't go there.
I was trying to go there. Come on. All righty, 615-499-6690. We were on a snorkeling trip in the islands, and we went to the volcanic atoll off of Maui that is so popular. Oh my goodness! But they take the boats out there and they park them. You know, they're 10 or 12 or 15. We were in about an 80-foot boat. We had gone out on top of the boat. It was a breakfast cruise with the buffet and everything. And we sat up on top. It was glorious, wonderful. Got out there and got to snorkeling. It was supposed to be a 2-hour tour. Not a 3-hour tour, because you know better than to get on a boat and go on a 3-hour tour. But we were in the water about 25 minutes, and then they started blowing horns, and all the boats started pulling up anchors and pulling everybody out of the water. We had to go back to the town and the port that we were coming from. And Maui has got a mountain on one side and a mountain on the other side with a great big hollow area right in between them. And the trade winds came up, and we were only in 6-foot seas, David. And I thought the world was coming to an end.
You ever seen Storm of the Century with George Clooney?
Oh yeah,
or no, Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm.
Yeah, that no,
that's real.
I know it's real, but no. If I'd been on that boat and you know you see all these waves, yeah, we can gank it back through there. No, I think I just chill, let the fish die, get stinky, and save my life. So.
Well, he was trying. I mean, the scene where they go up the side, the front of the.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. All right.
I'm not about that at all.
No.
All right. Because it was probably tuna too, or mackerel.
Okay, guys, I got to know something.
What do you got to know?
Where do you come down on resolutions? Are you a resolution maker? That boy, here's a new year. I'm going to start doing this, or I'm going to stop doing this. Where did you come down on that?
Well, the only time that I've ever made a resolution was about 40 years ago. I said I'd never make a resolution.
Oh, okay.
So have you been able to keep to?
I've kept to it. So.
I make one or two, but I keep them to myself because I feel like if you share them, it increases the pressure because everyone's watching you. So I don't really.
People actually expect you to do it, and you're able to understand if you have to make an allowance, right?
Yes.
So it's just one.
Well, let's think about some resolutions with respect to gardening. Now, something that our good friend Nicholas Stadden talked about last week was one of the things he mentioned was composting. Composting is one of those things that everybody can do. There's no reason for, no matter where you live, you can do composting, even if it's on a really small scale. So for most people, it's just a matter of taking your vegetative food scraps and combining them with your yard waste and turning it every couple of weeks. And you're really going to take a tremendous gift that Mother Nature is just giving to you. It takes a little bit of action, but it doesn't take a huge amount.
Now, do you like the barrels that are on the smaller barrels that they put on the stands?
And if you only have a small amount, that's really good because it takes the dirtiness out of it. Now, you do have to deal with, it's a little difficult to get it in there. It's a little difficult to get it out. But beyond that, it really does a great job.
There's a moisture that comes out, or a liquid that is part of that decay process that is used that is very beneficial for the garden. I think they call it the tea, the compost tea.
Right. Okay. Compost tea, liquid that you pour through it and it comes out of you. It's very, very rich in nutrients. And so that's good for watering plants, particularly if you're taking them inside. Josh, here's one that. Here's a resolution you ought to consider.
Oh, was that? Oh, well, here we go.
Yeah, stop calling your garden hose a hose pipe.
I only do that.
And while we're on it, stop calling it an above ground garden. It's a raised garden bed.
No, it's an above ground garden. Now, a hose pipe, that is a that's an homage to my bride because that was what she was raised that thing was called. Was a hose pipe.
Well,
and it technically is a hosey pipe, but it's not a pipe.
As well as in the mother country in England, in Great Britain, they were still referred to it as a hose pipe. So those are.
Oh, there you go.
The question
spell theater correct too.
It seems indecisive though. I mean, is it a hose or is it a pipe? I don't know. It's a hose pipe. Anyway, it's all made as one word.
It's for piping.
One resolution we can agree on, I think, guys, is reading the label on all those products that you buy.
Like the nutritional label?
No.
The label that tells you how to use it correctly.
Particularly
when you're talking about using chemicals that you might be spraying on your garden plants or whatever. And more is not always better. There are recommended rates. Sometimes there are situations where that a higher rate is called for, but
what not to mix something else with as well. I mean, sometimes you'll see that you don't want to put a herbicide in with your fungicide.
Yeah, and it's not just limited to gardening things. I mean, there's all kinds of other chemicals that are used. I mean, from driveway sealers to everything else.
Oh, absolutely.
Most of the success in using any product is understanding how and what the conditions need to be to have decent results under it. And certainly if you're thinking about doing a driveway seal this weekend, your timing may be a little off.
Well, the sealer people like it. But your neighbors down the street won't particularly care for it, and your tires on your car and it'll be nasty. Plus, it'll have a nice texture to it with all the Bradford pear leaves that are finally falling off of the trees here in Middle Tennessee.
Hey, and another thing that people can be thinking about is mulching around your trees. Now, that mulching around your trees is a good thing, but building a mountain over top of your tree is not mulching around it. That's actually going to kill the tree.
You don't want to put it right up against the bark of the tree.
You're right. 3 to 4 inches is a really good amount. People who put 8 or 10 inches are going to kill that tree. And what happens is that the bark stays wet when it's mulched around.
Now, how about this? We don't plant our annuals in the 8-inch deep mulch that's in front of the house either. We don't want to put our color directly into the mulch, right? That would be a good one to make. But we have to get everybody to do it.
But the thing is, if you pile the mulch up around the trunk of a tree, what happens is that it rots the bark off. Can rot it off all the way around. And once you've done that, the tree's dead.
Yep.
And you don't know, there's no bringing it back once you've done that.
No amount of fertilizer is going to bring back a dead tree, right?
Right. Now, one of the things that a lot of people don't avail themselves to, Josh, is using a drip type or a low pressure type irrigation system.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very non-spectacular. And I know we all, when we water, we like to see the water fly, and it's a very
soothing to watch it.
Nicholas talked about last week about having water in your garden. What he's talking about is like a pool of water, either a bird bath or something that will attract wildlife to it. Irrigation is not normally going to do that, but the plants don't need water on the foliage per se. They're okay with it because it tends to drip off and go to the ground, and that's where the water's taken up. So using a drip or a soaker type system puts the water precisely where you need it.
And it'd be very inexpensive for square foot gardening as well.
Yes.
Very inexpensive. You're talking about one 10 foot piece.
You don't have to have a full blown installed irrigation system, although those are great. But you don't have to have that to be able to effectively irrigate. We don't have one at our house. So, now it does mean that we drag a hose a bit and
a hose pipe.
There is that. But having an installed system is a good thing, but it's not required to have success.
No. But, David, one of my stocking stuffer gifts this year was a pH meter. I've never owned a pH meter before. That is you've talked about pH meters for years and years, and it's going to be a new tool in the arsenal, on the work belt as we go along. I got one that's approximately 12, 13 inches long with two probes, and it's also a moisture meter as well as a light meter and the pH
meter. So it gives you a multifunction device, and they only cost about $10. But the soil pH is one of the things that's really important to know, particularly in this area. If you're growing plants that are acid loving, such as blueberries, you need to be able to know that the pH is sufficiently low to grow those. Generally, you want it to be about 5.5 for blueberries. In our area, it generally runs almost neutral, about 7, maybe as low as 6.8, but that's just barely acidic. You really want it to be on down to at least 5.5, if not all the way to 5. So you can achieve soil acidity by adding some sort of sulfur compound. You can use elemental sulfur, which is great. It just takes a lot. It lasts a long time, but it takes a lot longer for it to become active. So you have to kind of put that down 6 months before you really want it to be available in the soil. Using other things like aluminum sulfate or magnesium sulfate will much more quickly change the pH, but it doesn't last for nearly as long. So just keep that in mind. And of course, if you're going to have a landscape, it's really a good idea to think about having some fruit and berry producing plants. And I've already mentioned blueberries, but things like blackberries and, Josh, I know you're a huge honeyberry fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a bumper crop last year.
All three of them that you've all three of them that you've eaten, yeah, they are great.
And I only have three plants too, David. So I mean, we had a half a dozen last year. So
most of the honeyberries that are in Middle Tennessee, Josh.
Well, the birds like those as well. So I think I didn't get to eat any of my blueberries this year because they didn't get quite blue enough. But the birds don't really care if they're quite blue enough to eat. So
no, they'll sit there and, the birds, the mockingbirds found my figs this year. Figs are probably my favorite fruit producing plant. And really in our area, they're almost impossible to beat.
Herbs.
Heavy fruit producers, particularly, I mean, even from the first year you get them in the ground, you're going to likely get fruit on them if you get them in a good sunny spot. But the mockingbirds, they ate as many as I ate this year, and it produced several hundred, and they got to a bunch of them. And, you know, they make me mad because they don't just eat one and eat it all. They
peck on it and throw it down on the ground. Yeah.
That really makes me mad.
Now, edible landscape. Now, that was we started talking about it as a big thing 12 years ago. Has it been about 12 years? I have one ever-bearing, one of the repeat-bearing strawberry plants left from that original crop, and he comes back every single year. It's amazing that we'll get a few berries off of that, but the rabbits like those really well. So. And it's not necessarily in a
it doesn't really take any longer to plan to have some mm-hmm. edible landscape plants in your garden and in your yard than it does anything else. And there's absolutely no downside to it.
Sage is a beautiful beautiful.
I'm not talking about necessarily planting mm-hmm. you know rows of corn in the front yard. That might get you some looks in the neighborhood, but you certainly can add. Things such
you
as
would certainly be a topic of at the HOA meeting if you put the corn in the landscape. But sage, rosemary,
those are all particularly good as pot plants, potted plants, I should say. It's a slight different. Potted plants that you keep on the patio or on the deck area mm-hmm. because you're that and basil and those kind of things you're going to use a lot in cooking, and they're nice to be able to go out and pinch a little piece off of it and add it to a recipe that you're working on. So, and they're very easy to care for.
The one that I have trouble getting any success out of is dill. It just seems like I'm not putting it in the right spot. I mean, you say you want to have sun, but it seems like it burns up too quickly. We'll see. It did real well. I had lost some, and I have a I don't really have a true compost pile, but over there by the tree line, there's this kind of a trash area that where a lot of that stuff goes to. And I had dill in my, it must have come back, must have gotten to seed and came back from last year.
Hey, something else that people need to be thinking about when you've got all these edibles in your landscape, if you've got any kind of pest problems, uh-huh. whether it's mealybugs or scale or aphids or whatever, if you're going to do something that's very broad spectrum and very easy to apply this time uh-huh. of year, dormant oil is what you need to be thinking about. And too often people come to that conclusion after dormancy has passed. So you don't want to do dormant oil while you've got growing. Now, the name tells you exactly the time that you want to use it. So generally within about 6 weeks or so, you want to have that applied. And it really is one of the most universally positive things you can do for garden plants, things that you're trying. If you're having pest or problems on a lot of things, dormant oil literally coats it with a thin layer of oil and it smothers, particularly effective on scale. So do that and spray thoroughly, making sure when you spray that you not only hit the tops of the leaves, but you hit the undersides. And that's where a lot of people miss their best application opportunity, is that they don't turn the sprayer handle upside down and coat the underside of the leaves. That's where a whole lot of the pests reside. So if you miss that spot, you're not ever going to have very good success with spraying any type of pesticide.
And that's more of a preventative than it is a true pest. Because if you spray dormant oil on a bug, it's probably going to smother it, but you're not going to really do a whole lot of good for the rest of them, right?
Well, it's just important to do. And of course, one of the other things that's important to have in your garden, Josh, is a bench, you know, because you don't want to spend all your time working in a garden. You won't be able to sit out there and have a snack, drink a glass of iced tea, and enjoy the
I got the recliner inside the wee shed.
Right, the wee shed?
The wee shed. It's not the he shed. It's not the she shed. It's the wee shed now.
The wee shed. You ought to market that.
Is this wee as in French?
The yes shed? The yes deer
the
shed?
Yes, dear.
Well, I
she lets you. Does she let you keep a toolbox in there so we can call it the wee shed?
We have the box fan. We have the portable radio in there. We have the recliner. We have. I did have to make a concession and have to put the bicycles in there, but no, it's the wee shed, as we call it. Now, I didn't get to pick the colors on the outside, and
that means you're ashamed of it.
No,
the way you said that, you're ashamed of the colors on the outside.
No. They match the house, but you know, the combination.
Well, that's true. You kind of got to go with what you've already got. I mean, you don't want it to be. Looking like the neighbors.
It was only an extra $400 to put the shingles on top of it to match the house, too. So, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You want it to fit in and look nice and not be an eyesore.
Oh,
you want to be proud when you're standing out there in the
wee shed.
The wee shed. Now, I wouldn't, again, I have the stool. I have the work. We have the workbench. I was given, I was also given some of those straps that you can put, cords and coils of a hose in that you can wrap them up.
So she made sure that you were going to be nice and organized to keep it neat.
I have a key. She doesn't. So that's
okay.
I put the key. The extra,
what
I know where the extra key is. What's that, David?
Here. Typically in years past, and of course we're closed today at Bates Nursery, but in years past, we have been closed on Saturdays through January and February. And this year, in light of, you know, the difficulties that everyone's having to endure, and everyone needs to be able to get out and just, you know, avoid being stir crazy. We will be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays, beginning next Saturday, though. So that's January the 9th. So people who are particularly have interest in house plants and that kind of thing, of course, we'll be open. You can shop our hoop houses where we have our plants. You know, it looks like we're out of business this time of year. We actually have essentially the same selection we've always had. We just move it inside because the weather is unpredictable in the wintertime. Or actually, it's not unpredictable. You know, it's
going to be nasty. Yeah.
Spells. You can't wait until it's going to happen before you go ahead and do it. So we have taken – we take preventive measures in hand and move things inside. So we have all of the plants. They're just inside. So if you have a landscape situation you're working on, we're going to be here on Saturdays from 10 until 2 all winter long. So I'll be talking about that more in the newsletter in the coming week. And, of course, our selection of house plants is really second to none. All the things you want to go with them, decorative containers. We've got a lot more of those have come in. And, of course, Earth Mix Pro Organics Eye that you want to use. And it's the one that you can get that is absolutely peat-free, so you don't get fungus gnats or any of those undesirable things when you use Pro Organics Eye. So just keep that in mind as you're thinking about what you're going to do to endure this winter. It's going to be a challenge, but we're going to get through it.
Sure will, because spring is just around the corner. I mean, we will be
be here before you know it.
We're going to have to get Drew in here because, I mean, February is when we start to begin to talk about
grass seed.
Yeah, and pre-emerge and those kind of things that get them going on there with them. But 75 degrees on New Year's Day. Not too bad in Middle Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. So it wasn't too bad.
Mild weather conditions, so get out and enjoy it. And, you know, it's more overcast conditions today, going to be a little sunshine tomorrow. So get out and enjoy your weekend. And the outdoor, good place. And right now the weather doesn't look like it's going to be too extreme. So
what's it going to be in Houston at game time tomorrow?
Have to stay inside.
Yeah, maybe they'll open the roof in Houston. So, go Titans, tighten up, by the way. We didn't get to go there. Hey, folks, the music means that this edition of the At Home Show is coming to a close, but next Saturday morning we will be here, and we'll be here for you.
Absolutely.
And for everybody here on the At Home Show crew, Tyler over there. Not Travis. Hello. Not Travis.
Tyler.
Travis Tyler. Tyler Travis. Okay, that could be his nom de plume. Michael Stevenson. Everybody here, we'll see you next Saturday morning for the At Home
Thanks,
Show.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks, yeah. Michael. Thanks,
yeah. Yes, sir.
All righty, guys. Be careful.